Now, head into the ring at a total combined weight of... the Top Rope Wrestling Podcast!
Welcome to another edition of the Top Rope Wrestling Podcast. I am Rick, and Drew is... I don't got anything. He's there. We're having internet issues.
I'm over from this 4 days of watching WrestleMania stuff.
Yeah. I mean, there were some good matches, but yeah. It was not my favorite WrestleMania, especially Night 2. And we'll go into that a little bit later after we cover Night 1. Night 1 was actually pretty damn good and had my hopes up for Night 2.
Yes.
So we'll start off Night 1, which was the first match. Bob, actually, do you want to do the pre-show stuff first since we did bring up the pre-show?
Yeah, or... the SmackDown stuff, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, let me do that.
Let me pull that up real fast. They did the pre-match this time. And they did the pre-show basically on SmackDown. So that was kind of an interesting way of doing it. We only really talked about two of the matches. I guess we know what happened. The first one was the tag team championship match, which took had the Dirty Dogs winning that match.
Mm-hmm. I had predicted Ray and Dominic would win it, so that's one in the L column for me. It's an okay match. There's nothing special about it. No big bots or anything that I can recall.
I had a problem, so I didn't get a chance to watch it until the day after, and then I wasn't able to fast forward or rewind through my programming. So yeah, I did get to watch it, and it was a good match between all of them.
So I think something might have gone wrong with Friday's SmackDown, because my DVR has not failed to record something really ever, and my DVR did not record that SmackDown. When I was trying to watch it on Saturday, I was only getting the week prior's episode when I would try to watch it on demand. And then I tried, because Hulu usually drops it by 10 a.m. and I was going to watch the Hulu version, and it did not appear on Hulu. Sunday, I was finally able to watch it on demand and on Hulu. So I think something might have went wrong with SmackDown that night.
Yeah, it was definitely a strange, I don't know. Either that or they just didn't want to put it out until afterwards. Yeah. I don't know. So next up, you called this one, was the Battle Royale
with cheese.
Yes, the Battle Royale with cheese, which Jey Uso won.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and funny enough, I think the two guys I said had the highest chance of winning, it came down to both of them. It was Shinsuke and Uso. But yeah, Jey Uso was the obvious choice. As soon as I saw his face on the graphic, it seemed like he was the one that should win, or had the most to gain by winning it, storyline-wise.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, with what ended up happening Sunday, it could lead to some interesting, you know, he now has something to present to the table, being the,
yes,
so the winner. It was a decent rumble, or not rumble, but battle royale with cheese.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was like it did what it needed to do. You know, pre-show worthy. So
yeah, it was good for a SmackDown, good for a pre-show. Probably on the actual WrestleMania card, you would have just looked at your phone for most of it.
Yes, That's pretty much how it worked. So next up was night one. Started off with Bobby Lashley defeating Drew McIntyre.
Yes. Would that be another one of my predictions that came true?
You would be correct. You did pick that one.
Yes. I did predict, and I think they made the right choice by putting Bobby Lashley over Drew McIntyre. I think that he needs to be champion for a while. I do feel bad for Drew not getting to win it in front of a audience, but that day will come. You know, I have a feeling that pay-per-views, at least from here on out, will probably have a live audience. And he'll get to win it in front of a crowd. But that Lashley is too much on fire right now to just have him win a championship and lose it on his first defense.
Yeah, I hope that he does get to win it and have his actual WrestleMania moment after 20. You know, he took a lot through 2020. And, you know, so I hope one day Drew McIntyre does get his due. Yeah. So next up was Natalya and Tamina beating the Riot Squad. They last eliminated. It was the turmoil, the tag team turmoil match. I cannot talk today. So first up, Lana and Naomi eliminated. They were eliminated by Billie Kay and Carmella. Billie Kay and Carmella were eliminated by the Riot Squad. Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose were eliminated by the Riot Squad. And then the Riot Squad was eliminated by Natalya and Tamina.
And on the way down the ramp, Mandy Rose was eliminated by gravity.
and a slippery. They did have rain. I mean, it wasn't really her fault.
But yeah, that was pretty damn funny. yeah, just plopped right down and got up and kept moving like nothing happened. So good for her. It was her WrestleMania moment, unfortunately.
Not all WrestleMania moments are good WrestleMania moments, right?
Yeah, sometimes you got to be Titus O'Neil and slide under the ring. So.
I was just going to say that. Although, Titus's was far worse.
Oh, yeah.
Still one of my favorite moments in wrestling history is the Titus O'Neil under the ring. I laugh every time I even think about it. Yeah, so they received a shot at the Women's Tag Championship on night two, which we will get to later.
I don't know why they will not let the Riot Squad have the tag team titles. They're the only legit tag team out of this group. But I thought the Riot Squad should have won. I don't understand Tamina and Natalia's relationship other than the fact that they're both second generation female wrestlers.
Yeah.
So
I don't get it either, but it is what it is. We're going to get to it anyway. If you haven't watched it, oh well. They ended up losing anyway, so it wasn't really anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. It didn't make sense to me. Next up was Cesaro defeating Seth Rollins.
Yes, and
I think we both called this one.
Oh no.
No?
No, yeah. You won that one. I did not. I said Seth Rollins would win it.
Yeah, I just figured Cesaro needed it more, and they've been really pushing him lately, so.
Yeah. This wasn't the match of the night. Obviously the main event was the match of the night for me, but I enjoyed the shit out of this match more so than I thought I would.
Yeah, me too. I definitely enjoyed it much, much more than I thought I was going to. So,
The forearm out of nowhere when Rollins attempted to do the stomp was like that one. I like that. I thought that was like really creative.
Yeah, they had. I mean, and he got 23 swings, I think. So that was a good. I think the swinging thing is stupid. But if you're going to be stupid with it, be stupid with it, right? Like,
I mean, if you're going to do it, just go all in on it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, good match. Wasn't the highlight of the night, but it wasn't a bad match at all. I mean, it was yeah. up there as one of the better matches of the evening. Next up was AJ Styles and Omos defeating the New Day.
I successfully predicted this one.
Yes, you did. I mean, I think we both said that because Omos was making his debut that they weren't going to have the New Day win. So, it was they lost the New Day lost the championship. Omos is a beast. I really kind of dug AJ Styles doing the what the hell's the name of his move, but off the shoulders of Omos.
Oh, the phenomenal forearm.
The phenomenal forearm, yeah, off the shoulders.
This match had a lot of goodies, from Big E actually coming out and doing the New Day entrance that we haven't heard since they separated them. The flying forearm or whatever it was off of Omos. The New Day playing keep away with AJ not letting him tag out, but at the same time explaining as they were doing it how to act like a tag team to AJ.
Yeah.
I found that to be great. The New Day were pretty good in this match. It's just that needed to happen. They weren't going to let Omos debut. And I was wrong about this. I thought that this would make AJ a Grand Slam champion, but it does not.
Really? What else? What is he missing?
He has not held the Universal title.
Oh, got it. Well, that makes sense. So, next up was the match that I honestly didn't care about and had a decent spot, but it was not like it was all spots. It was not anything, you know, that wasn't planned, which was Braun Strowman defeating Shane McMahon in a steel cage match.
This was a snoozer.
Yeah. It seemed like the steel cage, like the webbing of the steel cage was bigger just so that Braun could reach his hand through to grab Shane and pull him back through the fence.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It was Shane took a big bump off the top like he's done God knows how many times before. It was a steel cage match that shouldn't have happened. But, you know, it was definitely my low point for me of the evening.
Yeah, this and the four-way tag team match were my least favorite matches of the night. But yeah, Braun versus Shane. I can't say nothing happened because stuff did happen. I mean, he, like you said, he fell from the top of the cage. Braun ripped the cage open and pulled him back in. So it had stuff that was at least kept your attention for a second. But overall, this match did not need to happen. And I didn't take away anything from it.
Yeah, it was a forced match. It didn't really, it wasn't anything for me. The next one up was probably my surprise match of the evening, which is Bad Bunny and Damian Priest defeating The Miz and John Morrison. As I said last week when we were doing the review or the preview, I couldn't have cared less about this match. And you know what? It was a damn good match. And I gotta give Bad Bunny props. I mean, not the greatest guest appearance at a wrestling match, but God, he was good, and he held onto the rope for tags. Like somebody drove that into his skull, and he did it.
That flipping pile driver, whatever thing he did to John Morrison, was that sold me right there on Bad Bunny. I was like, he's definitely put in the work, but he did a lot of stuff good. The leap off of the turnbuckle to the outside, he held his own. He didn't look like someone that was like to me, like Shaq would look if he was wrestling. Like, this guy looked like he had wrestled before.
Yeah, he definitely, he's been, I mean, he gave up the time, came to Orlando and stayed here for a long time training. So and it looked legit. I mean, I would love to see him in a singles match just to see if it was a one-off type thing, you know, or whether he could hold his own on his own. Because everybody, you expect Damian Priest to be good. You expect the Miz to be good. You expect John Morrison to be good. But Bad Bunny definitely held his own.
Yeah.
And I, like I said, that was my surprise match because that was the one match that I was like, eh, because I don't like, I'm not a fan of The Miz. Bad Bunny, whatever. I'm excited, you know, Damian Priest was the person I was excited to watch the most, and he had a good match, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll go into the main event for night one, which was a damn good match. It was really good. Which was Bianca Belair defeating Sasha Banks for the SmackDown Women's Championship. The 17, just over 17 minute match. And yeah, it was damn good. Like, there, the one thing that I question, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Other people, the people that she is wrestling are not allowed to pull or do things with Bianca Belair's hair. Yet, she can slap somebody with her hair and not be disqualified.
She left, like, she cut her.
Yeah.
With it.
Oh, yeah.
They showed it afterward. Yeah, they played that hair bit through the whole match. She was tugging on her hair, Sasha was. This match, I said, should have main evented WrestleMania. It did. It was the most exciting match of the night. It was the one of three matches I was really looking forward to. And honestly, over the 3 days, it was the match that delivered the most for me. I like the genuine emotion Bianca showed when she first got in the ring and she was kind of overwhelmed with the fans and just being in the friggin' main event of WrestleMania. And like I, you know, said, I made a post on Facebook earlier. Last two years ago, we were watching her wrestle in front of 100 people at an NXT show, and now she's main eventing WrestleMania. So
yeah, at a former church, the Sanford Civic Center.
Yes.
It was, yeah, that was there were, not only did we see her, but we saw the current NXT Women's Champion wrestle at that event. So
yes, we did.
And she, it was definitely a different character back then, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, it was an excellent match. It was probably the best, in my opinion, the best match of WrestleMania. Like,
it was.
It should have been the night two headline, but, you know, got to get that in there. You want to move to night two? We can do night two now.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to say about night one.
I did enjoy Hogan being booed. I'm not going to lie. I really enjoyed that. Bailey got a little annoying, but Bailey's supposed to be annoying.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's Bailey being Bailey. But, yeah, I just, like I said, if you don't watch anything else on this WrestleMania, just go watch the Sasha versus Bianca match. And that was a clinic on how to headline WrestleMania.
Yes. Okay, so next up, we will go to night two. That started off bad and got worse. So it
before
started,
we announce matches, I have so much to say about this night, Rick. I apologize for interrupting you 100 times already. So I want to start out the night the way it started out, with a man who was once saved the WWE and brought it to relevance, and the man that once saved WCW from going under, coming out dressed like a fucking pirate. Hulk Hogan looked like such an asshole that I cannot fucking believe this is the same guy that when I was a little kid was like my freaking wrestling hero. Like, he just wearing this baggy ass fucking pirate outfit, coming out doing his fucking brother routine. And I'm just like, what the fuck happened to you, Hulk Hogan?
I'm 100% with you. I looked around. I was like, what the fuck is going on? It doesn't. Yeah.
Anyone that was not booing him the night before, like, fucking should have been booing him at that point.
Yes. Oh, and they were booing him. He got booed every time he showed up on TV. They were definitely not in Hulk country. They were in Hulk country because that's his hometown, but they were not. Yeah. They were not having Hulk. Yeah, now we can get into the matches.
Yes.
Which was Randy Orton defeating The Fiend with Alexa Bliss. First things first. So Randy Orton comes out, does his whole thing, you know, fine. And then they show a video of the barbecued Fiend in his badass costume walking along, and they change his costume. Like, he does this morphing into, you know, this magical morph into the old Fiend without the burns. And right then I was like, son of a bitch.
See, I was in from this point. They all right. So the first thing they drop on me is like, they're like, all right, we are fucking taking the Fiend from extra crispy and back to original recipe. All right, we are fucking we're gonna put it back where it started. All right, we're taking it. We're putting them back to normal. They wheel out this big fucking Jack in the Box. I'm like, oh, I'm in. Alexa Bliss comes down, cranks the damn thing. And after that, this match went to hell. And I cannot imagine that this was the plan for it.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but it was so like I was in. OK, so I hated the fact that they changed him back to the original recipe. I wanted extra crispy.
But, we all do.
But the Jack in the Box was awesome. I'm like, this is great.
Yes.
And, you know, she came out, or Alexa Bliss came out, started doing the crank, had the face paint. It was wonderful. He can't, you know, he obviously Fiend pops out of the box. I was really hoping it was some kind of trickery that something else was going to pop out and he was going to pop out of the ring. But that was a whole other, you know, whatever. And then the match, like, there were a couple of bumps. And then Alexa Bliss starts bleeding from the head, black stuff, and the Fiend gets defeated.
All right. I don't do a Vince McMahon impersonation like you do, but I'm going to have to try.
Okay.
Right now, because I want to do what happened. I'm going to do what I figure happened backstage in Gorilla 5 minutes before this match started. All right. I think there was a plan for a really good match, and they realized they were running out of time. So Vince was back there, and he goes, all right. We're going to do the extra crispy to original thing. You're going to walk out with the Jack in the Box. Crank it up. All right. We need to shave 35 minutes off of this match. So we'll have you fight for a while. Then Alexa's going to come out with fucking motor oil dripping from her face like she just changed the fucking oil in a 67 Chevy. That is going to distract you. You're going to get RKO'd. And then you're going to lose to Randy Orton. And I can only imagine that Bray Wyatt at that point goes, how long until my contract is up?
Yeah, it's got to be. I mean, it was. I literally had no idea what was. Oh, it drove me nuts, especially because I love that character. I mean, honestly, I would love to see Bray go to AEW and be able to do his own thing.
Again, Alexa Bliss comes out of this Jack in the Box looking like every mechanic when he punches out at the end of the day. I don't understand what the purpose was of why this was distracting to the Fiend. I mean, he looks up, he kind of like takes steps towards her with his hand out, and then he goes down to an RKO that, by the way, the Monday prior, he took an RKO and no-sold it. I don't understand why this particular RKO was the one that put him down.
Well, and he no-sold going off the table. Like, he literally, that was probably my favorite spot of the whole match, was Randy Orton threw him into a table and he bounced right back up. Like, there was nothing. I mean, sorry.
The sight of Alexa Bliss in peril just weakens him so much.
It just drove me nuts. I don't get it. I wish they would have done the Fiend proper. Yeah. I almost turned the TV off after this.
This should have been part two to the John Cena Funhouse match, with Randy Orton going through his whole legend killer persona and having like a psychological breakdown. Like, that's what should have happened. Not fucking this shit that I saw. This is almost as bad as him jobbing to fucking Goldberg in 25 seconds.
Honestly, I almost shut the TV off after almost every single match on the card. It was so bad. Like, I don't know who wrote night two, but take their pen away. It was nuts.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So next up was the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship match between Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, who defeated Natalya and Tamina by technical submission. because Shayna Baszler got both of them to tap out at the same time, if I remember correctly.
I took a shower during this match, so
did
I have
you really?
No clue what happened.
It was,
except for that they lost.
Yeah, it was. It was. I mean, it was what it needed to be, but it wasn't good. I mean, there was, it was, okay, so it was a little over 14-minute match, almost 14.5-minute match that could have been 5 minutes, honestly. If you're going to make a 5-minute match or a 6-minute match, don't make it the Randy Orton match. Don't make it the Apollo Crews match. Make it this match. It does not need to be 14.5 minutes. So, yeah, that's all I have to say about that one. The next up was KO defeating Sami Zayn. Honestly, they always have good matches just because they're really good friends and they've been wrestling with and against each other for God knows how long. I don't get the Logan Paul thing. I don't care about Logan Paul. I mean, dude records dead people in suicide forests. Whatever. I definitely could have done without the Logan Paul part. He didn't add anything to the match. He didn't take away anything from the match. I was happy when KO KO'd him. But, yeah.
He was getting booed on the sides.
Good.
And, yeah, he did. He added nothing to the match. I mean, he wasn't even, like, he wasn't involved in the finish like I thought he might be. Or I thought maybe he'd screw over Sami Zayn in the match. Or he'd help Sami Zayn win or do something other than sitting in. He wasn't even on commentary.
No,
he sat in a little corner by himself and pouted when people fucking booed him.
And he deserves to be booed, but whatever. It was a good match just because the two of them always put on a good show, but whatever. Next up was Sheamus defeating Riddle. The pre-show spot with the rolling papers may have been my favorite part of this match.
I didn't mind this match. No, but it wasn't again, bad. Like I've told you before, ever since Riddle's adopted this like dipshitty character, I've enjoyed the shit out of him.
I did enjoy his dipshit character. I don't the stupid birds flying out of his shin's stupid, but whatever. Outside of that, it was a good match. I mean, Sheamus looks meaner than he has in the past. Mm-hmm. But it was a good match. It wasn't anything special. I don't remember any like special moves. I don't remember any.
Oh, I do.
Oh,
there was an Irish curse backbreaker in the match. Do you know how I know that? Because Michael Cole told me there was an Irish curse backbreaker in the match because he has to say every time Irish curse backbreaker. He can't just say backbreaker.
Yeah. Or he can't just say Irish curse.
Yes.
So,
Future Shock DDT. I know what it is. I'm looking at the fucking move.
So all next, right. we'll move on. Next up was Apollo Crews defeating Big E in the Nigerian drum fight that involved very few drums. There was more gong involvement than drums. It should have been Nigerian percussion fight.
Or a Nigerian kendo stick fight, because they use that more than anything.
Yeah, so... But yeah, Apollo Crews left with the Intercontinental Championship thanks to the help of my neighbor. what are they? They're calling him something now. He has a different. I'm trying to remember what his name is now. Commander Aziz is his new name.
Yeah.
Babatunde, it's Babatunde Aigbusi. He actually is Nigerian. Dad is 100% Nigerian. Mother is Polish, and he was born in Poland. He is an actual Nigerian. Is a massive, massive, massive gentleman.
He looked every bit of it.
When I say he's my neighbor, he's legitimately like his kids or his partner's kids or whatever go to my son's school and he's shown up at events at my son's school. So he actually is a neighbor and we tried to get him on, but he never got back to me. So
probably busy creating that gimmick.
Yeah. Well, he was on the Underground before then.
Oh, yeah. I remember him. They weren't fooling me when they brought him out as to who he was.
So.
Like, no one, they seem to not remember on WWE that Omos was the bouncer. Everyone else remembers this, but people on WWE programming.
Well, I mean, they have to sell it how Vince wants it, right?
I guess.
But yeah, I don't, I, it was, it could have been a good match. I didn't expect it to be a long match. But I guess they think that Apollo Crews needs a stable no matter what. Like, they got rid of Hurt Business, so let's build a different stable around him.
Yeah, Apollo needs not – he doesn't need a stable around him. He needs a charismatic person around him speaking.
But that is not Babatunde.
Yeah. The old incarnation of Apollo Crews and the new incarnation of Apollo Crews just are not charismatic people. He is a very, very talented athletic wrestler. And he can do great stuff in the ring. Talking is not one of those things.
Yeah, I don't get the Nigerian royalty thing going on, but it is what it is.
He would be better served teaming up with Big E and letting Big E do all the mic work, and then they both wrestle, or they wrestle as singles wrestlers, but they're like affiliated with each other, where Big E does most of the talking because that guy oozes charisma, and Apollo Crews just doesn't. But he probably needed the belt. He's been chasing it long enough. I believe this will be good for Big E because he can go on and kind of move up the card a little bit more.
Yeah. I'm hoping that it gets Babatunde moving personally. But yeah, I agree with you there. I was looking real fast to see if I could find something. He actually is of Nigerian descent. Okay, so Apollo Crews actually is of...
He is.
His father's from Vendelkia, which is in the Middle Belt region of Nigeria. So, and his mother's from Benue State, Nigeria. So, interestingly... I wasn't sure on that one, so, yeah, it was a decent match. Number six was probably my favorite match of the night, which was Rhea Ripley versus Asuka.
Yeah,
it was a good match. I mean, I didn't expect it to be a bad match. I fully expected Rhea Ripley to win, as she did, because Asuka is pretty much done everything that she can do with every wrestler on the card. Like, there wasn't much for her left to do as champion, unfortunately. And I love Asuka.
she needs to be taken off TV for a while. And I don't know if she needs to be repackaged, but they need to freshen her up a little bit. Cause it's just like, she was really good over the summer and now it's kind of gotten stale. And like you said, there's not much left they can do with her right now. They took her off TV for a while. She could come back, maybe have some fresh feuds. But Rhea Ripley, the sky's the limit on her right now. She's not faced anyone but Charlotte and Asuka on the roster. And you know, there's a million directions they can go with her before that character gets stale. I did like the Rhea Ripley entrance with the singer from New Year's Day coming out and singing the song.
Yeah. I think I'd love to see her repackaged as her actual like nerdy self. Cause like, if you watch her YouTube videos and stuff, she is a gamer and, you know, likes to cook and show people how to make rice. And, you know, she's not this over the top character. And I think it'd be kind of fun to bring out nerdy Asuka.
Yeah, something. It's just she's been doing the same shtick for a long time. She comes out with the Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat coat on, and has the little mask over her face, and she doesn't even do the green ooze anymore, which she was doing for a while. But yeah, it might be time to freshen her up a little bit.
So we can go with the last match of the night, which is the championship match, in which Roman Reigns with Jey Uso and Paul Heyman defeated Edge and Daniel Bryan. I honestly did not think Roman Reigns was going to win this match.
Neither did I.
I fully expected it to be either Edge or Daniel Bryan, more likely Daniel Bryan, but it was a match. I don't know what to say. I mean, I think Jey Uso had better spots than anyone else in the match.
One thing we did discover is that nothing has changed for Roman as far as the crowd goes. They're still booing the shit out of him. It's just that he's a heel now, so he's getting the desired reaction.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, this match was... This match didn't deliver.
No. I think the thing I appreciated most was, outside of Jey Uso selling things really well, and looking like he was actually out there to defend Roman, was the Roman and Edge dual spear attempt.
Yes, that was pretty cool.
In which they both hit shoulders. It was exciting.
And Edge, like, I don't know, standing next to Roman Reigns, who's, what, 35, 36, and Daniel Bryan, who's 40, Edge at 47 looks haggard and old.
Yes.
Like, his eyes are all, like, puffy, like, he's just tired. And I don't know, I never noticed it before. Edge always had a youthful look, but, whew. Standing next to two other middle-aged men, he looked like the middle-aged man of the group.
Yes, he did. I didn't even like the fact that he pinned both people at the same time. Like, I don't know.
This could have been a really good WrestleMania had it been one night. And they subtracted about 8 matches from the card.
Yes.
Like, they could have done this to do it, but if they had just kept Bobby Lashley versus Drew, Bianca Belair versus Sasha, Cesaro and Seth Rollins, the two other championship matches, Apollo and Matt Riddle, and maybe Asuka versus Rhea Ripley, and the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, that would have been a fine WrestleMania. I think everyone would have went home happy. It's just a lot of these matches on night two were just not what they should have been. And that Fiend versus Randy Orton match was so freaking much of a letdown that it set the tone for the rest of the night.
Yeah, everything was such... I was questioning everything after that first 5 minutes.
How are you going to wheel out this big, fucking awesome Jack in the Box for a 5-minute match? So that the whole point, you realize now, the whole point of that Jack in the Box was so that Alexa Bliss could go into it, pour whatever that shit is all over her fucking head, and pop out and sit on it.
I don't know. I loved the Jack in the Box. I thought it was a wonderful thing. I thought, like I said, I was hoping that he was going to pop out from under the ring or in the middle of the ring or something, mm-hmm. instead of from the actual Jack in the Box. And they haven't done anything to explain it either.
they went over in Raw Monday. She kind of explained why she turned on him. This match, like, my reaction to it, if you ever see the Hercules clip where he accidentally reads the stage directions instead of reading the script, or instead of doing the action, have you ever seen that where he yells disappointed?
Yes.
All right. That was my reaction to that fucking match. Was fucking, I can't think of his damn name right now. I keep wanting to call him Lorenzo Lamas, but it's not. Was Hercules yelling disappointed?
Yeah, I just wish I, you know, I want to know who wrote this and who decided these matches, especially on day two. It was just bad. It was such a letdown because I was stoked after day one. Like, day one got me going, and then day two was like punch in the gut. You know, it was take you all the way up, take you all the way down.
Yeah, it was day two was pretty bad. And even the Monday after Mania, which is usually like a really good episode of Raw, last night's episode of Raw was crap. I mean, there was no real surprise. The surprise returns were fucking Ivar from the Viking Raiders and Charlotte, who's been gone 2 weeks. And the fact that we no longer have to listen to fucking Todd Phillips call Raw.
Yes. Well, and Samoa Joe is going off of SmackDown.
Yeah, because they put Corey. I think because that guy is new, I can't think of his name right now.
Yeah.
They wanted someone, Corey Graves, because he's a little bit stronger than Samoa Joe on the mic. And so they'll put him on. They'll put Samoa Joe on SmackDown with Michael Cole.
Well, either way, it was disappointing, and it sucks because, like I said, day one was so good.
Day two, not so much.
And they mask enforcement was not a thing. Social distancing wasn't a thing. That was driving me nuts.
Well, it's Florida, so
I know it's Florida. But I try and do my best in Florida.
Hey, me and you are both fully vaccinated, and we still, I think, both intend on wearing masks.
Oh, absolutely. I will be wearing a mask.
I will still double mask wherever I go.
I may take my mask off when I set up the stuff for Mayhem on Mills on Sunday, which, by the way,
you'll be the only one there.
Well, yes, I will be the only one there setting up. So that's about it. And I will be fully vaccinated. I will be past my 2 weeks of my second vaccination. So
I have 12 days left.
Well, you want to plug our socials and wrap it up?
Yes. So head over to Top Rope Wrestling Podcast on the Instagram. If you want to reach us on Twitter, it's Top Rope Wrestling without the G. You can reach us at Facebook. Top Rope Wrestling Podcast. You can interact with us there. We have gotten a show request before, which we honored that show request. We have received a second show request that we will be looking into. And you can also head over to TopRopeWrestling.com, where you can check out our archives. If you are listening to this on iHeartRadio. Usually I say iTunes, but iTunes now allows you to listen to everything. But if you're listening on something like iHeartRadio, you're only getting the last few 10, 15 episodes of the show. And if you want to go back and hear some of our other previews for WrestleMania or wrap-ups or just talking about barbecued fiends or original or extra crispy fiends, you can check us out there. And you can also email us, which Rick, who is staring at his phone and then creepily looking up with his eyes.
I'm not staring at my phone. It's just a piece of plexiglass.
Yeah, you're giving like the serial killer eyes, though, when you look up. Rick, while not doing serial killer eyes, is going to tell us about the email.
You can email us at Top Rope Wrestling or podcast at TopRopeWrestling.com or at Rick or Drew at TopRopeWrestling.com. Any one of those will go to me, and I'll get it to Drew if it's meant for Drew. You can also use the Contact Us button at the top of TopRopeWrestling.com, and that will get to us as well. I think that is it. Oh, and if you want to join us on Sunday, Mayhem on Mills, 5 p.m. at Carlotta's Community Park or something like that. It is right across the street from Wally's on Mills. If you are in the Orlando area, stop by, say hi. I may have some things out there to give to you if I remember them and I have time with all the setup. Drew will not be there, but he will be calling the match from home. The match is from home. So should be exciting. Should be fun. And it's $20 for adults, $10 for kids to get in. And you can buy your tickets at facebook.com/mayhemonmills. You can find the link there. And we'll also be broadcasting live on their Twitch page, which is twitch.tv/mayhemonmills. And Drew is trying to pull the fat away from his neck, I believe.
I have an obscene amount of neck fat on this camera. Like, I understand it's like, I don't know if the camera is adding 10 pounds of fat on my neck or if that's just the reality of my life right now, but yeah.
So it is. It is. Really is. It's just the part of your life. You've been sitting at home for too long. Not yes. getting out and walking around at least.
Exactly.
So tune in next week and we'll have more. I have no idea what we're covering next week.
We have some options. I have a couple ideas for shows. And like I said, we have a listener request.
We do have a listener request. Maybe we'll wait for next month for the listener request, since we've already done a listener request recently. Yeah. If you want to request, feel free to request.
Yeah, yeah. We'll probably do it unless it's something stupid like your request is for us to stop podcasting. We'll consider it, but we probably won't do it.
I don't know. I might, if somebody actually told me to stop podcasting, I may stop, you know, for like 10 minutes or so and then start back.
No, I'm not honoring that request. I don't know. Like I said, we would take it to a now, here's what we'll do. All right. It's like when you get a job and you sign that thing for arbitration. We'll take it to an arbitrator. You can show up. You can plead your case of why we should stop podcasting. We'll plead ours, and whatever the arbitrator says, we'll just go with.
You really want to put your trust in an arbitrator?
No. I don't. I just wanted to. I wanted to do that bit about arbitration.
Got it. Okay. Well,
I've been trying to work that in for a long time, into some form of conversation.
Just arbitration.
Yeah, just arbitration.
You want an arbiter? Okay. I mean, we might be able to get. Maybe we can have a. We can come up with something we can argue that we see differently on, and we can bring in an arbitrator to go between us. We can find
that would
a.
Be... arbitrator?
Yes. We can find one.
Well, there you go.
I don't know. We can come up with some idea sometime.
We're fucking morons.